Darkroom Booth is a powerful and easy-to-use software that streamlines your photo booth workflow. With features that include interactive video screens, slideshows, green screen tools, animated GIF features, and droplet integrations, your customers will enjoy the best photo booth experience that keeps them coming back. And it all comes with the expertise, sales, and tech support from Darkroom Software. Visit their website at darkroomsoftware.com.
Thank you for joining us. Today's episode, Ryan and I will discuss pricing and how he's increased average ticket volume in the last few months. Stay tuned.
I am Chipotletarian Ryan Salinas.
And I'm regular dude Ismail.
So we're kind of getting into our groove again. I'm a little excited because there's something that's kind of happened recently. And I'm going to start off with the story.
Story time music.
So I don't know if you know about this. There was a TV show way back when on, like, it was like on Bravo or E or something, and it was
My favorite channels.
Yeah, totally. It actually really is, so you can calm down on that one. It was called Sheer Genius, and it was like a haircutting competition. And what I really appreciate about this one, and I have a point, I promise. Land the plane, Rose. Land the plane.
We're losing people already.
They're turning it off. I'm putting people to sleep. No, that's actually really scary because people listen to us in the car. Don't fall asleep.
People's lives are in your hands, Ryan, so take this seriously.
So, wake up! On Sheer Genius, there was one particular... The only reason why I have, like, why this has come up is... Have you ever, like, gone through, like, an old laptop and, like, just either old pictures or, like, you go through, like, old downloads and, like, just random stuff will, like, show up on that laptop? So, I had downloaded this on to like an Apple TV or whatever, and I was like scrolling. I was like, I forgot about this TV show. The one thing I appreciated about this TV show was, again, it's a haircutting competition, and they had a mall challenge. So you have all these hairdressers, and they were told, you're going to go into a mall for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours or something like that. Whoever makes the most money wins this challenge. Immediately, you have all these like hairdressers going and grabbing people saying, I'll cut your hair for $5, I'll cut your hair for $10, I'll cut your hair for, you know, $20. And they're just lowballing themselves. And you had two. One of them was Tabitha. I don't know if you know Tabitha Coffee. She had her own TV show, Tabitha Salon Takeover. It was genius. And then this other guy, I don't remember who he was. I think he was kind of a, like just a mean, annoying person. But, I mean, he did really good work. So they're like, no, we're not giving ourselves away for $5. And they went, and he would walk up to people, and he would say, I will cut your hair for $100 right here in the mall. If it's not best haircut you have, like, you don't have to pay me.
Ooh, risk reversal.
Guess who made the most money?
That guy.
Those two. Tabitha and whatever his name was. And I just thought about that. Like, how many people, like, run this photo booth race charging $1 or $2? Granted, I've done it, so I'm not saying I'm exempt from this. But I'm saying that I think that we always – I have always either undervalued myself or undercharged or until recently, which I should have been doing it a long time ago. But I do think that there's something to really be said for knowing that you're good, knowing that you bring value, and knowing that people will pay for it.
What a great – I thought when you said Bravo, you were losing me. But what a great story, because I could just picture them frantically running around the mall.
Yes, it was so entertaining.
And it's just like a small like description of the photo booth world.
Yeah.
Where you've got all these people running around charging ridiculously low rates, and then you have the few that know their value, stick to their price points, that do really well. And everyone's like, why can't we be like them? Why can't we stop running around like a chicken with your head cut off?
Yeah.
But the important thing, though, and I don't know how you do this, Ryan, is – those two people you mentioned had enough self-confidence to not lose it in the competition. How do you do that? Especially when you have to pay bills, you got kids, and all that stuff, right? It's difficult.
Sure. I don't have kids.
You have dogs?
I do have dogs.
Hot habits?
Judgy Wudgy was a bear. No, but that's the thing is, I have always historically undercharged. Case in point, one of my friends has, her dad is on the board of directors of some nonprofit. And she goes, hey, listen, can you do a website for them? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, just like send me their info, whatever. She goes, she forwarded me a proposal that they got. Keep in mind, this is a nonprofit, for a website that was 3 pages with a resource page, which was just a whole bunch of links, for $12,000. I'm like, no. Truthfully, I probably would have done it for about $1,500. She goes, no. She goes, you should charge them. She said charge six. I go, well, now that you're saying that, I'll charge like three. She's like, let's meet somewhere in the middle and do like $4,500. I'm like, that's fine. Sent a proposal for $4,500. I'm like, this thing is not going to go through. Not only did it go through, she goes, can you build this thing on Wix?
Oh, my.
Do you know how long this is going to, like, I told her no. I was like, I won't do it on Wix. I'll put you on something else. But I was just like, gosh, it's crazy that people, I saw a thing that was like, you know what? If I spent 10 years learning something and it takes me 30 minutes to do a job, you shouldn't pay me for the 30 minutes. You should pay me for the 10 years that it took to be able to do it in 30 minutes.
I mean, it's all about value. So if there's value when you're creating, it shouldn't matter how much time it takes to create it or how much time it took to learn it. It's the value that you generate.
But there's also the perception of like how long it takes. Well, if it's too easy for you, why should I? We talked about the plumbing incident.
Yeah, this is, reminds me of, I think I've mentioned this before, of a locksmith. There's like a story about a locksmith where he would do a job to fix a door lock, whatever, I forgot what it was, and it'd be done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he'd tell the customer, $100. Customer's like, $100? You only took 5 minutes. This is ridiculous. I'm not paying you $100. So the next time you went to a job, same job, but he tinkered around for an hour.
Fiddled around.
He made some loud banging noises. And then when he charged $100, the client was happy. Oh my God, it's so worth it. Here's a tip.
What?
What a fascinating like example, right? Of the perception. It may sound like you're being inauthentic. But even this book I've mentioned before called Mindless Eating. Fascinating psychology study where they studied people going over to people's houses for dinner, and they realized one thing made people enjoy the dinner more, and that was if while they're waiting for dinner in your living room, the host was in the kitchen, and I'm putting quotes in the air, preparing dinner, making sounds of pots and pans and moving around.
That would be me. I'm just going to be like
pretending that they're really working. For whatever reason, it builds up this thing in your mind where like, wow, she put a lot of effort into this. It's going to be delicious. And they enjoy it more. And it's the same thing with service.
Not my family. there was one, I think it was a Mother's Day or maybe it was a Thanksgiving. It was a Thanksgiving. So one Thanksgiving, that's a lie. It was Christmas. So I did dinner on Christmas Eve and I was, Ryan, how extra are you? Let me tell you how extra I am.
Here we go.
I did individual Cornish game hens for everyone. Individual flipping chickens for everyone. My family didn't give a crap. They were just like, when are we eating? Like,
well, this study was, you know, very general overall.
Not Mexicans, let me tell you.
But it's fascinating because when I mentioned that locksmith story last time, people were like, oh, you're just tricking people. It's inauthentic. Relax, it's a story. I'm not the locksmith. But there's something to be learned in making a show of the service, making experience of the service as opposed to just, I'm just doing the job, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah. So I am, this is another thing is whenever I kind of came back to the land of the living, I had realized that my average ticket had gone up like triple, if not quadruple.
While you were in your slumber.
Kind of. Yeah. So, and consistently, I got a whole.
Well, what do you, because in the last episode you mentioned you were just throwing out like ridiculously high numbers to see if people would, you didn't care if they took the business.
No.
Is that why you think your ticket went up? Like, would you learn?
Well, I attribute it to, I've offered a roaming booth and that has significantly increased. I don't know why. I think it's just the value of it. I think that there's something to be said for a human walking around holding it. So flipping weird.
Just because you mentioned that there's flocks of people running. Because of you, Ryan, now there's flocks of people out there running to their nearest distributor, to get a roaming photo booth.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had it for a year or two now, something like that. I don't remember, but ever since I've kind of like started like running through like my normal galas, I did this one client. Okay, I have to talk about this. Where are we at on time? How much time do we got? So this is what ended up happening. In the middle of my slumber, I got a lead, very, 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 very big lead. And the client had said, listen, can you come in, meet with our entire marketing team, and show us everything that you've got? I said, not a problem. Pulled it together, and I don't think I've told you this yet.
Maybe. I'm waiting to hear.
So I had a baker make these individual cookies themed to this company. I can't say which one it is because people know who it is. Some people will know who it is, but I brought in like a basket of these cookies for the entire marketing team. It was a marketing team of 12, which for a nonprofit, I think is super overstaffed.
But I mean, I didn't hear this, but just that alone, like think about all the other people that's pitched them and you're walking in with a box of cookies.
Oh my God, feed people and they'll love you. Like and this is the thing is it's in San Antonio. So I probably could have gotten away with like tacos or whatever. I just think that it's such like a little icebreaker. So anyways, so I brought in these cookies themed to their company or what have you. The marketing girls, they're all over that. They started taking pictures. Next thing you know, it was Instagrammed. The baker got some business out of it.
The marketing girls, they didn't ask if it was gluten-free?
Oh, no. Stop.
Sorry.
I have a peanut allergy. No. So I went in. I hooked my laptop up to their gigantic, like, 150-inch TV, which would go amazing in my bedroom. And they sat around the conference table. I brought in samples of stuff. I was like, I can do a roaming. I can do a 360. I can do a green screen. I can do, you know, regular event photography where the guest can get the photo instantly, but it's like a high quality photo, not just one taken on their phone, like do really good lighting, whole thing. And didn't hear a peep out of them. Nothing. 3 months go by and one marketing person emailed me for a tiny, tiny 2-hour event. And it was supposed to be for, he was like, oh, can we do this for 4 hours in 3 locations all at the same time? Well, then it went to 2 locations. Then it went to 3 hours. Then it went to 2 hours. Then it was like, just this one location for 2 hours. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So that was a little annoying, but you know what? I did it just because I really wanted their gala. So a month later, the gala chair emails me and she's like, hey, can we get a quote? Send them the quote. And I mean, this is a big event. It's like 1,500 people. They charge a lot of money. I know because I've attended this gala before. Everyone gets incredibly dressed up. Like they go really over the top. And generally, you kind of have – it's an older demographic, I will say that. However, like they generally don't have any sort of photo aspect to it. So this was kind of the first year where that was going to happen. Well, or the most that they've done previously is a step and repeat, but nothing that was delivered to the guest instantly. So anyways, we end up doing this, send the proposal. It went from 8,000 to 6,000. Well, can you give us a discount? Well, can you do this? Well, can you do that? Got whittled down to $1,500.
Is this a fundraiser?
Yes, it's a gala. So then it gets whittled down to $1,500. At that point, I do not care. A week later, I'm sending follow-up email, follow-up email, follow-up email, follow-up email. The last follow-up email got a response, and she goes, I'm so sorry, Ryan. The gala chair has decided that we haven't allocated enough for this year. So sorry, we're not going to be using you.
Your heart drops.
It wasn't even dropping. Like I just got in this also happened with another event. Funny enough, that was a nonprofit as well. And she goes, can you give us a discount? Can you give us a discount? Can you give us a discount? Finally ended up at like $2,000 for this one. And she was like, yes, great. Absolutely. I'll pay it tomorrow. Never paid it. followed up with her for 2 weeks. She's like, I'm so sorry. We're not going to do this anymore. I'm like, are you flipping kidding? I hate that. Like, I just wanted to send her the middle finger emoji.
They just lead you on. They tease you. And they...
Seriously. Like, it was just so stupid. But anyways, with this first one, I was just like, I was so over it. Maybe I'll get it next year. But at the same time, like, I really don't, like, focus on it. Like, I know that a bigger event will just come later on down the road. And, I mean, sure enough, it does. But it was just so annoying.
I thought there was going to be a happy ending there.
You kind of built it up. No, and it was just dropped right under, just like my heart. So well, I hope I have explained this just how I felt.
There's nothing to learn there, so let's move it along.
Well, I mean, that's just the thing is, I hate it when, and there's no way to combat this. And this is the bad side of it. Like, you just, you don't win them all. I get it. It's just annoying that people put you through this crap.
Well, that's one thing I'm really proud about with this show, and I know a lot of people really appreciate that. It's not just hunky-dory, oh, guys, this is what you got to do. It's great. Money's falling from the sky. I think we're pretty open about
it. Well, hold on. It's actually, at the moment right now, it is falling from the sky.
So. But even when it's not, we talk about that, too. So I think that's the reality of the business is what people really want to hear about. And I think people listening go through the ups and downs, too. So,
you know, I think that in the creative depression episode, we kind of talked about that a little bit, like whenever like it really does like get slumped down a little bit.
So I don't want to get too off topic here, but... This is just something I was talking about with non-photo booth people a couple nights ago.
I love non-photo booth people.
Non-booth people that don't know anything. They're like, oh, it prints pictures?
Perfect. You can do strips?
So
put a bullet in my head.
That conversation came up, and I'm like, oh, there's this thing now. It's pretty big. People roam around with a photo booth. And I know it's a huge thing. I know it's really working well for a lot of people. But this particular group of people I was talking to was – couldn't comprehend why people would like a photo booth that traveled to you. They're like, oh, I don't like you. And people ask me for my picture. I don't want to be interrupted, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't really explain to them why it was working so well, why it's so popular.
So I think that whenever you have like the little rainbow light or the ring light and someone is walking around, there's something really appealing about that. People are on that, like, you know those like little like firefly or those little like bug lights that they're just like, ooh, like that's literally what it is. Like, and you get these and you have these like little millennials that are like see a ring light and they're like, gimme, gimme, gimme.
It may depend on people you speak to because I know in New York, anyone that comes up to you, you just put your head down, just walk away. You don't want to talk to anybody.
No, not at all. Yeah.
So that may be something to do with it. But I've even been to events where like at a wedding, they have a photographer going around taking pictures. Hey, smile.
Sure.
And then they sell the pictures to you.
That's just stupid.
And people are just turned off. And I think in New York, they're just trained to like, I don't want what you want to give me.
Yes.
Move away.
Yes.
Move away.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Move away.
But it's working very well for people.
Well, another thing that I kind of wanted to talk about pricing, because this kind of did pop up a little bit, is whenever people ask me, well, what should I be charging? I don't know. I don't. Money... My grandfather used to tell me, you don't know the value of a dollar. You know what? No, I don't. I'm almost 40 years old, and I still don't know the value of a dollar. And I just see money is very fluid. I'm going to make it. I'm going to spend it. I'm going to gamble it. I'm going to win it. I'm going to lose it. I mean, it's just money. So I don't worry about things like that. But the thing that I think is really important to take away here is you should price out whatever you feel comfortable with. I remember when I used to do weddings, when all the thing that I needed to pay for was my rent, I would literally book and charge based off of what I needed for my rent and then a little money to live on. Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally how I thought about it.
Fascinating. I think a lot of people think about it that way, and that's why they may be undercharging as some.
Sure. Well, I don't know, but that's just kind of how I kind of see it. I will say that with my average ticket going up, I'm a lot less stressed. The clients that I'm working with don't care what I'm doing. It is the weirdest thing, but I really appreciate that literally every single one of my clients gives me the ability to do what I want. They know that they're going to get an amazing output. They know that they're going to get something that they cannot get anywhere else. Or doing like, do you remember those like 90s school pictures where they had like the lasers in the back?
How could I forget?
We're totally recreating that stuff. And I love doing stupid stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just love saying, let me do this. Just give me a theme. We did a taco theme for an event. And it was just the coolest thing because I was able to do like an animated background. I
remember seeing that.
Yeah. And it was just the coolest freaking thing. And I have more requests for that stupid taco background than anything else.
I think a comment you made that's really interesting is that your average ticket going up made you less stressed.
Yeah.
And I can just think about people listening that are...
Well, not that I was stressed before. Less. Let's be honest.
A lower level. But I can just think about people listening that are running around trying to win business and competing and following up. And it's stressful. And it reminds me of a story with my barbershop. Very short story. I'm not like Ryan.
Well, clearly, because it doesn't look like you had a haircut in a while.
Listen, they love me there. Mm. But the owner was asking me for advice on how to make more money, right? And I'm like, listen, man.
Oh, you told me this.
Yeah, I did tell you this. I said, listen, man, you're already full. Your seats are all full. The only thing you can do, and there's only one thing, is increase your pricing.
Yep.
That is it. You can't add more chairs. You can't get, like, you're already full. Oh, but people are going to get upset. I tried to raise prices by $1 last time, and some people left.
Bye.
And I just really explained to them very clearly that, listen, if you raise pricing, some people will leave.
Yeah. Right?
But if you raise pricing by 10, 15%, and 2, 3, 4, 5% leave, you're still making more money with less customers.
Mm.
And the beautiful thing that happens there, and you touched on it, Ryan, was with the less stress aspect, you have more time to devote to each client. So you give a better service. They feel happier because they're getting a better service. You're less stressed because you don't have to run around all day squeezing all these people in. You're making more money. Everyone's happier. There's like a magic cycle that happens there. And I think people don't get to that zone because they're
so... business 101.
But they're afraid to charge more.
So they're...
because they're worried about what they're going to lose.
Sure.
But they don't look at what they're going to gain.
Well, there was a documentary. I'm trying to think of which documentary it was. I don't think it was the September issue. Or, I don't know. It was something that was going over the Met Gala. And Anna Wintour tries to keep that guest list at 250 people for the Met Gala, which that's not a lot of people. Like whenever you're thinking about how like huge the impact that party has on everything for the following year, she made a comment. She was like, this is what we have. This is what we need to make. I don't want to increase the number of people. That means that we need to raise the price for each ticket. And like literally that's how you make money.
Yeah. I just think that there's a lot of people that don't have the mindset suited for that. And it reminds me of, I have friends with different mindsets. I have a friend that's like, as I got more successful, I couldn't afford to do things that I was doing before, like mowing the lawn.
Mm.
So he'd hire people to mow the
laundry. Lawn. I don't do laundry.
The way he looks at it is that he can't afford to be bothered with that anymore.
Sure.
And I think that's the mindset I admire.
That's bad. I can't afford to be bothered with a lot.
But a lot of people fall into a different mindset where they just want to do it all to save.
Mm.
And when, like, I have a friend that owns like 7 properties,
mm.
and he's still shoveling the snow at every one of them and mowing the lawn at every one of them. And
does he have the time to do that?
Yeah, because that's his income. But
okay,
you should be looking for the next property.
Wait, shoveling snow?
Shoveling snow. There's snow
that?
In New York. It's white stuff that falls from the sky. It's cold.
Oh, wait. Okay, no.
Texans. But to me, the important thing is that if you focus on saving and you focus on reducing the amount of money you spend, or you're worried about losing customers if you raise prices, you're going to stay in that circle and that cycle forever. You have to be willing to move into a different mindset of it's okay to lose some customers because I'm going to make more than my other customers and I'm going to give them a better service. So, I mean... that's pretty much the message I take away from the pricing discussion that we had here. Thank you, Ryan, for sharing.
You're welcome.